WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Flint, Michigan officials say they've replaced most of the city's lead pipes 10 years after national outrage over Flint's contaminated water. But here in Chicago, officials estimate the city's water system won't be lead pipe free until 2076. What is taking so long? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. To discuss, I spoke to Inside Climate News reporter Kirti Gopal, WBEZ environment reporter Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco, and Natural Resources Defense Council senior policy advocate Shakina Perry. Shakina dives right into the history of lead pipes and service lines here in Chicago. Here she is.
This problem is decades old. We can go back in the day, and people across the country were installing lead pipes because it was malleable, right? It was cost effective. It was easy to access, and it was the thing to use back in the day. But as you know, with research advancements and physicians getting involved, physicians across the country were ringing the alarm about the harmful nature of lead. And so they were saying, we need to stop using lead. We need to stop installing it. And so while cities across the country were heeding that warning, Chicago, on the other hand, via the Chicago Plumbers Union, they saw this as a cash grab opportunity. They saw this as a way to keep business in the family. And so they were building local and national alliances to keep installing lead pipes despite physicians across the country saying otherwise. And so we were installing lead pipes up until 1986, where a federal ban was in place. But at that point, you know, we have so many in the ground at this point, fast forward, over 400,000, and we have the most in the country.
And so the city, if you could grasp why it was so slow to address lead pipes being in its water system, what would you say?
I think it's a national problem, right? We don't really address water infrastructure issues until it's too late. And so even people don't really engage with their water bills until something goes wrong. And so we haven't treated water infrastructure with the same level of priority as we do other things. And so now when you zoom in on a local level, it takes political will for individuals to say, when we're crafting our budgets, we're going to prioritize water infrastructure, particularly lead pipe replacement, which we have research on research that shows that there's no safe level of lead exposure. So this should be easy, but we're making this much harder than it needs to be.
And so it's clear to everyone who's listening, how is lead exposure harmful exactly?
Absolutely. So we can start with children, which is what we talk about most often, right? Just even the lowest level of exposure can lead to developmental disabilities, emotional and behavioral learning disabilities.
And to be clear, more than nearly two-thirds of children here under six are exposed.
Absolutely. So they're caught in a vicious cycle of exposure. So whether it's at birth, as a fetus, when they're enrolling in daycares and schools, as well as when they go back home. So it's a vicious cycle. So we focus on children so often, but when we look at adults, adults are also exposed to hypertension and other cardiovascular diseases just off of low levels of exposure. So when we think about both children and adults, we're spending so much money on healthcare related costs to address these different aspects when we can just treat the issue what it is. It's removed lead pipes, and so we can actually give kids a trying chance in this country.
Yeah, Kirti, let's bring you in here. Talk to us about the federal mandate that's in place requiring Chicago to do something about this. What is it asking for Chicago to do, and what is the funding that the federal government is providing here?
Absolutely. So at the end of the Biden administration, the EPA finalized a new rule, which is kind of beefing up some of the requirements for water systems across the country to deal with lead in their drinking water and specifically to deal with lead service lines.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main things that was the first requirement for water systems to do was to take stock of what lead pipes they have and submit an inventory to the EPA at the end of last year. That basically would tally up all the lead service lines they have and say, okay, these are all the service lines that we need to replace.
Yeah.
And for Chicago, that was 412,000.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's the most in the country. And one of the requirements in this rule is to replace all those lead service lines for most water systems in the country in about 10 years from 2027 when these compliance guidelines kick in. Because Chicago has so many service lines, there's the possibility of an extension that would give Chicago around 20 years from 2027, which is a long time. But
20 years from 2027. So now we're at 2047.
Right.
I'm trying to keep up with the math here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like we said, we've obtained Chicago's plan that they submitted this year to the Illinois EPA. And according to that, they're planning as of now to take about 50 years to replace their lines.
Mm-hmm. Is this, Shakina, this federal mandate, is it the first of its kind?
No. So we had a lead and copper rule, in place prior, which was around 1991. And so this one is the lead and copper rule improvements, which not only does the federal mandate around lead pipe replacement, but it also improves water quality testing. It also reduces the lead action level, which basically means that if there's testing that take place and it's an exceedance above 10 parts per billion, then it just really requires water utilities to, you know, kick into action quicker when it used to be 15 parts per billion. So
I see.
Lead pipes is like one piece of a broader improvement to water quality standards, but definitely it builds on some prior lead and copper rule that was in place.
So I'm looking at you now, Juan Pablo, because I need you to have some answers here. Why has the city's lead replacement program been so sluggish?
Yeah, I would say that the city points to two big issues. They would say, one, it's budgetary problems. This is an expensive problem. Replacing a lead service line in Chicago can cost something like $35,000. So this isn't like chump change. This is like real money, right?
Mm.
And then the second thing is a staffing problem. You know, there aren't the people they need at the Department of Water Management to help people get this going and moving. So what I would say is that the city is really looking at a massive problem.
Yeah. Are they looking to ramp up the replacements this year?
Yeah, I guess there's like a bit of good news here, right? Which
right.
is that the city is picking up speed. So up until very recently, the city had only replaced just under 8,000 lead service lines, but it plans to replace an additional 8,000 lead service lines just this year. And by 2027, it plans to start replacing something like 8,300 lead service lines. But again, replacing lead service lines is very, very expensive. And that's especially true here in Chicago.
Yeah. How do you feel when the city gives these kinds of responses, Shakina, for why it's taking so long?
It's frustrating and it's incredibly disappointing, considering there are cities across the country who have done this work in an efficient and equitable manner. We have a blueprint in place on how to do this work well. And the city of Chicago is a very large municipality. We have access to resources. We have staffing that other smaller cities don't have. And so at this point, I think that there's a lot of excuses being made because we have the blueprint. Right. And it takes political will to say we are going to take this seriously. We're going to prioritize it and we're going to ramp this up because we know that even the lowest levels of exposure
mm-hmm.
can lead to a lifelong complications with health, but also can be fatal. And so I don't know why we're dragging our feet on this.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on what you just said. You just said we're going to take this seriously. And it makes me think, I mean, have folks at the top of the chain here not been taking this as seriously as they should have?
I think people have spoken about it. I will give this administration credit. They have spoken about the need to replace lead pipes. They've been open and honest about what some of their challenges have been. But what we're not seeing is the actual, like a legitimate plan to help ramp up these efforts. It's kind of one and the same with previous administrations.
I mean, we can talk about ramping up efforts for as long as we want, but like, where's the action?
Absolutely. And that's what a frustrating
part. Here's the other frustrating piece to this is that it's disproportionately this problem. We talked about kids earlier, but it's also disproportionately affecting people of color.
Absolutely. Right?
Tell us more, Shakina.
Yeah, so I view lead service lines in our ground, not just as a public health issue, but an environmental injustice. And when we talk about the water rate burden in the city of Chicago, Black folks in the city carry a large burden. So they're spending a disproportionate amount of their income paying their water bill, or some people can't even pay their water bill. Mm-hmm. And so now when you add lead pipe replacement onto it, when our government isn't doing what they're supposed to do to protect its residents, you're putting the onus on individuals who already don't have extra income to survive, right? So now you have to choose between whether it's putting groceries on my table or paying my water bill. Now you're saying, feed my children or keep a lead pipe in the ground. And so now when we talk about cost, right, with the astronomical cost of replacement in Chicago, which they quote up to $35,000 for a single replacement, if you don't qualify for the Equity Line program, if you don't qualify for the homeowner replacement program, and if you're not in queue for whatever replacements that they're doing on a weekly basis, you're just going to have a lead pipe delivering water into your household for as long as possible until they do something about it. And that's unfair.
That 35,000 number, Keithy, sounds just astronomical to me. So I'm curious whether there are plans to renew or even increase that federal or state funding to help folks.
Yeah, you're right that $35,000 number is really high. And we should note also that that's higher. That's what Chicago has said their average cost of per service line replacement has been.
And we're saying Chicago because that's not what it costs in other cities.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. Nationally, there's estimates for what it should be, and that's between around like $5,000 to $12,000 per line.
So why does ours cost so much?
Great question.
We're still trying to find out the answer to that one.
Sasha, we actually are in the middle of finding out the answer to that one, and that's a story that's coming up later.
Okay, thank you.
But one thing we can say is that the city is working on some ways that they could potentially reduce that cost.
Okay.
And one of the main things that they've said they're trying to do to reduce that cost and ramp up replacements is replace on the block level instead of replacing single homes one by one. So that's one way to kind of lower the cost, and that's the one of the main things they're citing so far.
So fast forward here, Shakina, so we get to the place or the point in this process where we are going to get this the lead pipes replaced. What does that actually look like? What is the process of actually doing the work?
Absolutely. So I think that the city of Chicago has to put together a substantive plan that makes sense, right? And so we have currently the lead and copper rule improvements, which we call the LCRI, mm-hmm. that's held up in court currently. And so that is the thing that will, if it remains in place, will put Chicago on around a 21 and a half year time replacement timeline if it sticks. And that will kick off October 2027 if it sticks. So with that in mind, given the sluggish pace right now, you know, if we have to reduce this timeline from 50 years to 21 years, we have to get our stuff together, right? So that means having a comprehensive replacement plan that prioritizes community partners, that will be able to help contractors actually get approval from residents to actually get their lead pipe replaced.
Yeah.
It's actually utilizing our federal funding that's being disseminated through the state in a way that's equitable and efficient, and also identifying other financing mechanisms to actually get this work done, because federal funding is limited. So we need to look internally and figure out how can we pay for this in a sustainable way.
Right.
And then also just thinking about, you know, whether it's water workforce, whether it's the financing mechanisms, whether it's working with the community partners, being able to address the restoration issue as well, which is a big frustration with residents currently who are getting lead pipe replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we come dig up the ground. You know, what's the communication look like?
How do you let them know? I'm wondering, are they looking out for an email with a date? Like, we're coming to your house on such and such date at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they expecting a disturbance, like a knock on the door?
Absolutely.
What is that notice like?
In state law, it says that before any type of replacement takes place, you have to notify the resident or the property owner within 45 days, whether it's via mail, other forms of communication, whether it's a letter posted. So before any work actually gets done.
Yeah.
So this is all kind of written out in state law already. And so if we expedite this process, like, we just really need to get our stuff mm-hmm. together, because it's going to be more pipes replaced at a quicker pace. And right now we don't have everything together to actually get that done well.
Right. Which cities, Juan Pablo, have adopted the federal mandate?
Yeah, so first of all, I'd like to point out that we like talked to the five cities with the most lead pipes in the country.
Okay.
And so those cities are Chicago, Cleveland, New York City, Detroit, and Milwaukee. All of them, except Chicago, have decided that they're going to stick to that federal mandate of 10 years to replace all their lead service lines.
Mm. All of them except Chicago.
All of them except Chicago.
Is the city even allowed to do that, Kirti, like disregard the mandate?
So they won't be. The rule and the replacement requirements of the rule don't, the replacement requirements of the rule don't go into effect until 2027.
Okay.
So what the city is saying right now is that they'll adjust their plan by 2027 if the regulation stands. And like Shakina mentioned, this rule is under litigation right now. So some advocates are saying that maybe the city is kind of waiting to see what goes on with this litigation to see if anything changes with the requirements before committing to replacing their lines quicker. But if we get to 2027 and nothing has changed with the rule as it is, then mm-hmm. Chicago is not allowed to disregard it.
Mm. You know, this federal deadline, Juan Pablo, this was set by the Biden administration. You and I have talked about this here on this program before. I wonder, though, with all the things that we're watching change right before our eyes, especially since January, is there an expectation here that the Trump administration is going to keep this in place? Or are there plans to maybe rescind what's been going on?
Yeah, Sasha, I think a lot of that is up in the air. What I would say, though, is like Kirti mentioned, like Shakina mentioned, the LCRI is currently under litigation. So to be fair, I think generally water systems across the country are waiting to see what happens in that court. I'll add, though, that yesterday was the deadline for the EPA to decide what it was going to do with that legal challenge. And they saw a 30-day extension. So all of us across the country are just waiting and waiting to see.
Yeah. Anything else to add to that, Kirti? I mean, it sounds like Chicago is definitely in wait and see mode on this as well.
Yeah, it seems to be. And something that we've heard also from people who are working on this issue at a national level is that there is kind of a lot of anxiety around what's going to happen with this rule and also what's going to happen with funding and federal funding for replacements. So it is something that I think a lot of water systems around the country are kind of mm-hmm. in this slight period of limbo with.
And so this conversation about lead pipe replacements costing so much more money here in our city, you two are looking into that for your next piece. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have a few pieces coming and we're going to be working on stories around lead pipe replacement
right.
throughout the summer. And one of those pieces will be about funding.
I can't wait till you bring us that answer.
And Sasha, if I could say one thing, if you're listening to this and you have any experience with a lead pipe replacement or you have suffered some sort of lead exposure, please get in touch. You can find us at WBEZ.org. There's a contact form on our last story.
Yeah. And real quick before we go, Shakina, and while I have you here, you know, residents listening to us, in the meantime, if they want to keep their water safe, what do you recommend as far as services that the city might offer?
Absolutely. So I would always encourage everyone to go to letsafechicago.org and see if you qualify for one of the various programs that the city offers. One is the Equity Line program, which is income based. And another was the homeowner initiated program where you're still responsible for paying for the lead pipe replacement, but mm-hmm. they do waive permit fees attached to it. And if you're a daycare owner, there's also a daycare replacement program as well. So that's one thing from a resource standpoint. Number two, I encourage everyone to get a point of use filter that is that's lead certified to remove lead from the water. So it's not just a matter of let me go in the store and just, you know, grab any filter. Please read to see if it removes lead.
Yes.
And install that on your faucet, or also get filters, pitchers that do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then also just also encourage your alder people, your state reps, your state senators to prioritize lead pipe replacement.
Yes.
Make sure that it's a budget priority and stay on top of them. I think that honestly, the city of Chicago and the state should be providing people with filters for free until they figure things out, because we know that it's harmful. We know the long-term impacts of it. So we should be proactive as government agencies
right.
To protect the health and safety of residents.
Great advice. That's Shakina Perry, Kirti Gopal, and Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Sasha.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Aryan Kumar. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Micah Yasin. Make sure to subscribe to the show to never miss an episode. You can also visit us at WBEZ.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you so much for listening. We'll meet again later today.
love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.